Do you think you would actually be that mature? Is my question. Okay.
Here's my thought. Feelings on the island are temporary, but TV and the fact that it's being recorded is forever. Mm. So
you're the perfect person to go on reality shows.
I think I'd rather be the person who likes my crush more.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? I also really like the reason she gave, actually. I really like how she said he broke a lot of my standards or my beliefs around love and dating. And because of that, I wanted to show him that I'm open to giving it a chance.
Someone else who made me rethink my assumptions about people or like how I want to come off is Zoe.
Welcome to Bamboo and Glass, where we showcase the abundant possibilities of who you can choose to be. I'm one of your co-hosts, Han.
And I'm Sophia. One of our favorite topics on our podcast is discussing media. So our reactions to movies, TV shows, books, music, and of course, dating shows.
Of course, dating shows. That's a new thing that we've bonded over, actually, I feel like in recent years.
Yes. Han and I watched Singles Inferno 1 and had a lot of fun discussing the different characters and the way they choose to portray themselves in a pretty vulnerable scenario. You're in front of your crush, other people are liking you, everything is being televised, you know, all the fun of dating shows. And so it was fun to discuss how people portray themselves, you know, do they want to be charming? Do they want to be mysterious or confident? And how good are they at portraying those qualities? So Palin and I just finished watching Singles Inferno 2, and we have so much to say. For folks who are not familiar with the show, I'm going to give you a quick summary, and then there will be some spoilers throughout this episode, and you have been warned. Okay, Singles Inferno 2. This is the setup of the show. So 5 women and 4 men are on Inferno Island. And so on this island, it's pretty tough. You have to cook every single meal for yourself, walk really far to get water. It's cold, it's hot, you're living in a tent. Every day, several people get to choose one person to go on a date with in paradise. So paradise is totally different from the island. Paradise is this luxurious hotel, amazing food, swimming, the best place you would want to go with someone on a first date. And so the rules for who goes on the island change slightly every day, which is part of the fun. Different people get to do the choosing. And then also the rules for who you choose can change. Sometimes you can't choose someone that you went with before, and other times you can choose whoever you want. Sometimes both people have to choose each other in order to go. Other times only one person has to choose the other person. Another really interesting aspect of the show is that you can only ask about someone's age and job if you go to paradise with them as their date. So that means on the island, you have to show your charms and get someone to be interested in you without showcasing this pretty crucial part of your life, which is how old you are and what you do for several hours a day. And I think this is a really interesting twist because, for example, if I liked a guy and if I don't go on a date with him, I don't know anything about his age or his job. And I also don't know the age and the job of the other girl. So I don't really know what my competition is like. And I think that's really fun. I also like how, because the rules change slightly every day, there's actually a lot of opportunities to pull ahead even near the end of the show and, you know, win your crush's heart, even though you haven't had a lot of good luck at the beginning of the show. I have some fun questions to kick us off. The first one is, if you went on the show Singles Inferno, what would be your outfit you would wear for the first day as you're walking down the steps to meet everyone for the first time?
Yeah, all the girls always wear dresses, I've noticed. And so I don't know if it's because it's really hot there, but I kind of would want to show up in streetwear just as like a opposite charm that I could bring. Okay. I think I would dress, kind of like a dancer in a way. I think I've liked like more comfort, and I think there's something very effortlessly cool about that kind of style.
Oh, kind of like hip hop dancer style?
Yeah. Which is pretty much like sweatpants, a baggy t-shirt, or like a crop top underneath, something like that. Yeah.
You would definitely turn heads. You would be the cool girl for sure. No one else would.
Yeah, I think it. I just like to do things differently, you know? Yeah. Okay. What would you wear?
What do you want people to think of your first impression? So, cool.
Yeah, cool. I don't know, just kind of like, why is she here? And like, that makes them curious as to why I'm there.
Okay.
Like, I don't care that I'm supposed to look super good in front of all these people. Yeah. Like, I'm there because I'm down for good conversations, good interactions, yes, good chemistry in general. Okay. Doesn't have to be around looks, really. Mm. So, yeah. What about you?
I think I would have worn something pretty similar to the girls. So, I'm more into, like, the flowy, the ruffles, the...
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Totally. Okay. I love it. That would also turn heads because you don't always get to wear those kinds of dresses out in public every day.
Mm-hmm. Question number two. If you felt like it was clear that your crush, the person you liked the most, didn't like you the most. Like, let's just say you were really crushing on this guy, but it felt like he liked another girl more. They had more in common, or they went to paradise together more. What would you do? Would you be more like Soyi, who steps back and stops engaging with this guy? Or would you be like Jongwoo, who leans in and pursues your crush more?
Hmm. I guess that's kind of hard to say. I think maybe in my head, like, my interpretation is that I would like to think I'm Soyi, where I do step back, but I also would continue to have an interest in getting to know the person, even as friends. And so I would approach them like friends, kind of like Soyi and Hanbin, like them talking to each other and becoming good friends. But I could totally see that being taken the wrong way, like I'm being persistent, but I'm not even asking about, at this point, about their feelings. Like, I'm just trying to have a good time. I personally don't really like having only conversations about, like, who you're attracted to and, like, what do you, like, have you made up your mind? Because I just think that time on that island is so short and everyone kind of, it's okay for people to kind of keep things to themselves as well and, like, slowly make their opinions. But what will help change people's minds potentially is just more time being spent with one another. And sometimes that just means you just even forget the fact that you're trying to decide how you feel about the person, and you just think about what you have in common and talk to them about that instead.
Yeah.
And kind of like distract them from the whole point of the show, I guess.
Yeah, yeah, I did notice that a lot of the conversations that were edited and aired were people being like, oh, have you decided who you like? Or do you like two
people
or one?
Yeah, and maybe that's like, just... Ugh. What the show thinks is important to share. Maybe maybe they did have other in-depth conversations. Like, there's whole conversations that apparently happened for 6 hours and they didn't go to bed in paradise that we never got to see. So like, we really do miss out on a lot of probably substantial conversations that are being had on the island. But I feel like you would, I don't know, I guess I don't know about this particular scenario, but I remember you said that when you're interested in someone, you definitely are a little bit more persistent. So what would you do if that person didn't seem to be as interested in you, but you also, that's the only person you find attractive?
Yeah. Okay. The role model here for me would be Sejun, that guy who ends up liking Soyi, because he was really sweet with her.
He was so cool.
He was so, so cool.
Yeah.
Okay, this guy.
He really should have gotten more screen time on this show.
I was most curious about him because he was the last to come in. He's very fashionable, very cool, is very sweet to the girl that he likes and is very direct, but also doesn't give her any pressure, isn't badgering her with questions. This time when he got all dressed up and he was waiting around, he just like took a nap. And all the guys in the tent were like, why is this guy so chill? at one point, the girl Soyi, she approaches him and says like, hey, I'm really sorry I didn't choose to go to paradise with you. I feel awkward and I want to clear the air. He's like, oh, I mean, I just really like you and I want you to be happy. And I don't want you to choose me out of obligation. I'm like, oh my God, this is so mature.
Yeah. Wait, but okay. That is, I feel like that's like what our higher selves would want to do. But okay, if you, like, if you're thinking about like your emotions, like are entangled and are turbulent, how do you think you would be? Do you think you would actually be that mature is my question.
Okay. Here's my thought. Feelings on the island are temporary, but TV and the fact that it's being recorded is forever. So
you're the perfect person to go on reality shows.
Exactly. Like, I'll be so chill. If everyone rejects me, it's fine. I just got to be the better person and be so cool that everyone's like, damn, she's like so cool, you know? And if I actually really liked someone, I can get off the island and for the rest of, you know, I have so much more time to get to know them off the screen and like eventually get together with them, right? If I really like them.
Yeah. Do you think then that Sejun actually didn't get that much airtime because he wasn't being a drama queen?
I'm not sure. So I think he was so different and so mature that I think that is that unique side of him would deserve more airtime, because I think it gives people something to talk about. But I can also see it the other way around. Like, he's so mature and so different that he ends up getting no airtime.
I could see people saying that that's not spicy. Like,
right.
Why is he not pining for her? Why is he not confiding in other men? That,
right.
Why does she, like, whether to talk to her or whatnot? I feel like people, it just really felt like high school, this whole show.
Yeah.
Like, can you remember when you liked a guy and then you found out someone else liked the guy and it was a question of who was going to tell the guy first?
Yeah.
And then
who's that's kind of like you
get, yeah, like that's kind of like that's the person who gets dibs. And so are you supposed to then stop pursuing them or are you supposed to like actually go ahead and just be competitive with your friend? It was always like really messy.
Yeah.
Because these relationships are, I feel like there's not much you can do again on this island. And so it felt like a little bit on the surface level, aside from maybe conversations that they have in paradise. And so anytime they were on Infernal Island, it felt like I was back in high school.
Yeah, I really wonder what the unedited conversations look like, because I'm hoping they're a little more interesting. Okay, so speaking of the conversations on the island being a little bit boring, so one of the reasons they might have been boring is that you are not allowed to talk about your job or your age. If you couldn't ask about or share about age or career, what would you ask to start a conversation?
Well, you know, I was actually thinking, like, I have a coworker who I laugh every time we go eat lunch because he just asks the most random questions that come out of nowhere. Like, they're not related to the food. They're not related to the work that we're doing. They're not related to any current events or anything. He'll just be like, do you play games? And then people are like, oh, do you play games? Like, they'll answer the question. They'll be like, oh, do you play games? And he's like, no, I don't. I was just curious. Oh. And everyone's like, oh, okay. Oh. Or he'll be like, he'll ask like one of those like moral dilemma questions or like just like, how like what would you do if you were in this situation? And then people are like, were you in that situation recently? And he's like,
no.
I was just thinking about it. I think I would do something like that where it's just so random that people are kind of like, what is it? But all it takes is like one person to like start the conversation and to get the ball rolling. That way it's not always so it opens up the horizon of what could be talked about,
right?
And that none of those things have to do with age or a career. I think that's where I would start in terms of like icebreakers, I guess.
Yeah. Also, like, it's easy to criticize the conversations on the island, but there is something about paradise where, you know, you're surrounded by such nice things that you can react to. You get to talk so freely and no one's interrupting you and you don't have to worry about like, oh, this other girl is going to like come up to me and disrupt the conversation. So yeah. I'm not bashing these people, but.
Yeah, I'm sure also mentally, if you're told you can't talk about something, you all of a sudden can't think of anything to talk about. I'm sure that's also the case because it's like, once you are told to not think about something, that's all you think about. So all people are probably thinking about the first day is like trying to guess what age they are, trying to guess like what job they are, but they can't ask about that. Let's say you've never gotten to go to paradise, Sophia. Oh, I'm sure you would, but let's say you didn't
get
to go
to paradise. I don't know, dude. Those girls were cute and some of them did not go to paradise.
Let's just say you weren't able to go to paradise, but you still were craving that depth in conversation. What is one question you would choose to ask someone,
especially if it was with my crush? I think the way I would try to create a really memorable conversation is not only by asking something interesting, but also letting them talk about themselves in a very positive light. Because I think if they have fun talking about themselves, they're going to remember the conversation very favorably. And it's like, I'm part of like that halo effect of the conversation being fun. One question I really like asking people is, what is a really meaningful or memorable compliment you've received? Because you're opening the door for them to share something that they're proud of, especially if it's awkward to say it up front without being asked about it. So I think that would be a fun way to give people the stage to share something kind of vulnerable and really happy about themselves.
Yeah, I love that. I know you posted an Instagram poll on Bamboo and Glass where you asked, would you rather be the person who likes your crush more or vice versa? What would your answer be to that poll? Well, let's say which one would you rather be and which one are you realistically?
I think I'd rather be the person who likes my crush more.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? I'm so curious.
Especially if I'm on TV. I just think that girls are more likely to be criticized harshly for turning someone down. And again, I'm like very conscious of the fact that I'm on TV. This could be edited. You know, feelings on the island are temporary, but like TV is forever.
I feel like you need to be the trainer that props that just like prepares them before they go onto the island. Hey, remember. your feelings on the island are temporary, but your time on air is permanent and people will watch it forever.
Yeah. Like, these people are trying to, these people are like actors and, you know, maybe like aspiring idols. Like, I would be very mindful of what I'm doing and saying on camera. Anyways, so I'd rather be the person who likes my crush more.
And I'm
a little conflict avoidant. So if I like someone more, it's up to me whether I have that conversation with them. But if someone likes me more and they initiate that conversation with me, I have to respond to that.
Interesting.
Yeah. I don't mind. I don't think my pride would be hurt at all, because this is a small island. There's like five girls, four guys. Like, it's hard for there to be a match. Like, that's so few people. Like, I think about all the people, all the guys I've met in my life. How many have there been, like, an interesting match with, right? Like,
barely. You know, this is very illuminating about our personalities, too, because...
Is it?
For people, well, because for people who don't know, Sophia hates surprises. Like, she hates when she has to control her reaction to things. So if she gets a surprise, her first thought is, like, how am I supposed to react for that person to be happy or, like, just to be comfortable? And so... In this case, you could be caught off guard if someone came to you confessing their feelings to you. And then you'd be like, oh, the camera's on me. Like, I don't, what am I supposed to say? Like, I haven't thought this through. Versus you would spend a lot of time preparing what you would say to someone if you really liked them.
Right. And I could choose to not
even say it.
Yeah, exactly.
Interesting. Well, in a similar vein, but ends up being opposite, I was going to say I would rather be like where the crush likes me more, because I think historically I feel like I've always been someone who likes my crush more. And I think the thing that I'm conscious about when it comes to women is that women can seem desperate when they have really unrequited feelings towards someone.
Really? And more than men? You think so?
Yeah. I feel like men get a pass for a lot of things. I also have referenced this in so many episodes, but in High School Musical, Troy Bolton is in Gabriella's backyard, literally waiting for her. And everyone was like, that's so romantic. And I'm like, that's creepy AF. Why would I? That guy is desperate in my eyes. But the general public is like, wow, look at how dedicated and committed he is to gaining her heart and winning her over. Versus for a woman to do that, it's seen as very, I don't know, superficial, frivolous. And kind of pathetic, I guess, is probably the worst word that you could use in that situation. But I do acknowledge that if someone did approach me, I would have no idea what to say. I think I'd probably be like, let me get back to you. And I'd probably walk away.
Yeah.
Because I don't want to accidentally say something that I regret saying too.
Okay, interesting. So it's hard. Both
positions either way is really hard. Yeah, for sure.
You just gotta get lucky and just find your perfect match on the island, I guess.
You've hinted at this already earlier in the episode, but what was your favorite interaction in the season?
Oh, I think all the scenes with Seon, Yoon-jae were so cute. They liked each other from the beginning, and it was just funny one day when Seon came back from Paradise with some other guy, and then Yoon-jae was like, I'm usually not a jealous guy, but I'm feeling kind of jealous. It was just cute. And then their last day on Paradise, they were walking around. They're like, oh, we were in the same room that we were in our first night
at
Paradise.
Lots of coincidences.
They just felt like a married couple touring their home.
Yeah.
Like they're buying a house together or something. Yeah.
Yeah. And also they were both on the older end of the spectrum too, in terms of age that we end up finding out. And so I feel like you can kind of see that maturity, that level-headedness as well of like, they probably came on the show kind of knowing too that there's totally a possibility that they don't end up with someone.
Yeah.
And so I felt like they really took it in stride to be on a reality show, happen to find someone that they're both attracted to, but not fall, I don't know, I don't want to say trap, but not fall into too much of a trap of a honeymoon of like the fire. Like they were equally fire and water to me.
Yes. Yes. How about you? Favorite interaction?
Okay, so I got to pick a spicy one. The ending.
Oh,
ending. Big spoiler. I'm about to talk about the ending.
Yeah.
The biggest surprise of probably this whole show, across two seasons, when Seulgi chooses Jongwoo. I've seen a lot of theories about why Seulgi chose Jongwoo. I also really like the reason she gave, actually. Yes. I really like how she said he broke a lot of my standards or my beliefs around love and dating. And because of that, I wanted to show him that I'm open to giving it a chance, which I think is really mature. I feel like, I think there's a lot of romanticization on the show around just going for the same person that you've liked from the very beginning. But I think there's also so much merit too of being open to exploring different personalities, especially of people who you wouldn't normally gravitate towards. You might just surprise yourself. And so I think if I could have like had an earpiece in all of these people's ears or like done a check-in with them, I would have wanted to encourage them all to be a little bit more open to exploring different personalities and different people that they would have normally not gone for. Because that's the whole point of being on a show like this, is to put yourself outside of your comfort zone.
I think a lot of people, I wonder if there are people who want to explore, but they're also afraid of their pride being hurt if they don't have a match at the end. And so they'd rather play it safe and just keep going for the same person and hope to lock that down so they don't feel anxious.
I also feel like that's so nerve-wracking. Like, then all of your eggs are in one basket. Like, you gotta diversify a little bit, in my opinion. Because, again, you never know. Because you are already so limited in terms of what you know about people. I'm saying this more about Seulgi and, like, just her decision. Like, her, the person that she chose, like, was all in for her from the very, very beginning. But I also appreciated that it seemed like he did his best to not burden her too much. I don't know, it was kind of sad to see him like so, like feel so much unrequited love, but also he also, I think, gave her a lot of support that a lot of the other guys did not give. Like when she was having a hard time or like she was really dehydrated, he like checked in on her. And I feel like Seulgi probably recognized that and thought about what kind of relationship or what kind of guy would I want to be with me in the future outside of this island as well. Because that's kind of the symbolic exit of the show.
And I think it's quite risky for him to do so many of those kind actions, because if she didn't choose him at the end, it could make him look like a really big loser. So I think he really, really took a big risk in being extra kind to her.
And also, again, knowing that these are edited, fresh just from what we saw, I felt like she had deeper conversations with Jongwoo than she did with Jinyoung, who was probably like the other main contender. Jinyoung and Seulgi's Paradise Night was spicy.
Super spicy.
Was super spicy. But when I thought about it, they didn't talk about anything, really. They were just, like, obsessed. They were infatuated with each other, it felt like. Yeah. But they also were kind of, like, dancing in circles around each other because they both had so many people flocking to them. And so maybe they're used to getting a lot of attention from people. But I felt like they never got a chance to maybe be honest with themselves of, like, what kind of relationship that they would be looking for. And setting that standard for themselves. I saw this TikTok about how Seulgi probably decided right when Jinyoung asked her if she had decided, and she said, "Yes, I think I've decided." And she asked him back and he said no. So it was kind of like, why would I put, again, my eggs all in one basket of someone who's so uncertain as well?
Okay, so you said that it's probably, you would encourage people to really sincerely be open-minded and get to know multiple people. So what do you think about Jinyoung as a character? He really got to know a lot of several people.
I think he only got to know a lot of people, though, because they all came to him. I don't think he approached anyone, really.
I see.
Like, Nadine went to go talk to him. Sejong went to go talk to him. Minsoo went to go talk to him. The only person he did ever approach was Seulgi, I guess.
If I were to give input on season three, I think there should be a twist where, let's say I choose you, but you're not that interested in me and you actually want to stay on the island because you know your crush is on the island. You should be able to reject the invitation to paradise. That, I think that would really spice things up, because you're right. A lot of times, like, Jinyoung got to go to paradise because, you know, Minsoo asked him twice. It would be interesting to see if he would actually be willing to turn down the opportunity to go to paradise.
Yeah. And also, in a way, I mean, I guess this is the fault of him being so charismatic and attractive, but he barely spent any time on Infernal Island. And so he missed out on a lot of group conversations and group dynamics and a lot of opportunity to get to know a lot of other people. Because one-on-ones are great, but again, you're only getting to know one out of five girls at that point. So I thought that was a little bit of a shame for him. And he probably knows it too, that, and I feel like he was hoping that he would stay on Infernal Island for one day, but then he unexpectedly got picked again.
What do you think it is about him that is so charming and intriguing? Because we had a whole episode about Gia from season one. I think we gotta talk about Jin Young.
Well, I mean, first question, would you have been attracted to him if he showed up?
Yes. Not his appearance. Oh. I don't really think he's my type, but I'm very intrigued by his confident yet kind of like reserved energy.
I do tend to like guys who... I'm just thinking about if James was listening to this. He fits under this category.
Okay, okay.
But I tend to like guys who are quiet, maybe in my head and maybe in other people's heads. Quiet equals not confident. And so to meet someone who is quiet but still very confident, I think is really
intriguing.
An opposite charm, I think. And it's just really interesting. And I also think his appearance-wise, especially with his long hair, he just kind of subverts a lot of beauty standards that are in men. I think it's really interesting when men specifically have consciously subverted beauty standards.
Yes. I thought he was a tattoo artist or like a motorcycle athlete of some sort, because he has the long hair and he's very buff, but he has like the artistic, like thick rimmed glasses. Yeah, very unique look for sure.
I think it's just a lot of things that you wouldn't expect to find in one person, but you find it in that one person. Kind of like Song Jia in season one.
Right. And I think Nadine is similar because she has really interesting hobbies, but we didn't see her get to talk about that very much. Whereas with Jin Young, just like his appearance alone is like very intriguing. What do you think about the fact that he was so direct in many ways? Like he kind of like really subtly took the lead in a lot of different scenarios. Like when he was, the first day he was there, he was like having the special meal with two girls. He just kind of went ahead. He didn't even ask, oh, do you want me to like cut this up for you? But he kind of just like took it, cut it up, was like, here, have this.
Wait, have you seen the YouTube videos that they put out of the Singles Inferno cast reacting to the show?
Yes, yes.
Oh, okay. Yeah, he said that he was nervous this whole time. And so I think because of that, I can see how to him he's nervous and do like, you know, maybe forgetting to ask or something. Oh, but then to a girl, like, she's like, oh, like look at him taking initiative. Because I've also, this is a kind of a tangent, but in my sorority, there's like a point where it was quiet. They had to decide kind of like roles that the different people in the class would take on. And the question was like, who was going to be the president of the class? Big deal, right? Like you think about like elementary school, like everyone wants to be class president, but it was like dead quiet only for like 5 seconds. One girl raises her hand, she's like, oh, like I would like to be class president. Everyone's like, oh my god, like wow, like look at her taking initiative. And then later I talked to her and she said she couldn't stand the awkwardness, the awkward silence. And I was like, the awkward silence only lasted for 5 seconds though. And so that was what motivated her to take charge and take initiative, because she felt like it was so long of a wait. And so I wonder, I think again about just the different perspectives that people have of the same situation, because I believe him when he says that he was just really nervous and he was just like, oh, like just eat. But maybe just the way he says it, and like for people to not know him that well, they're like, oh, very interesting. Very, very attractive of him to say those things.
I was really inspired by his demeanor. I think there's a lot I can learn from him. I think when I'm meeting someone, especially for the first time, I put a lot of energy, and I hope it comes off as like warm.
You
and
said
focus.
This. You said this in the last episode with Singles Inferno. We were talking about how we were going to rethink how enthusiastic we come off on first impression.
Because I'm so used to trying to make the other person feel really important. And I think seeing him and seeing how like he doesn't always push the conversation forward, he kind of lets that space appear and it kind of pulls other people in a little bit. And so I again find that very inspiring. Yeah. Someone else who made me rethink my assumptions about people or like how I want to come off is Soyi. So she is one of the petite, cute girls with a more high-pitched voice. And she has like a very like eye smile. Her eyes disappear when she smiles. It's very cute. At first, I thought she and Sulky were kind of like pick-me girls, which is like girls who act a little weak or helpless just to get a guy's attention. And as we were going on in the show, I was really impressed by Soyi. I think she was really mature in expressing her feelings, but also giving her crush some space. And it just really made me rethink assumptions I make about people when they are very petite and cute. And that is a part of their appearance and the pitch of their voice, something that they can't really control. And so I was like, wow, I kind of like walked back on my assumption of her a bit.
Oh, I love that. I love how even as a viewer, you can really check yourself too and reevaluate how much fondness you have for a character. And especially, and I think it even feels more real because these are real people who are being caught on camera. And so it's like, you could very well meet this kind of person in real life.
Yeah. Son really inspired me because she has a lower voice. You know me, when we're talking more casually, I actually have a naturally much lower voice than in the podcast. And just seeing her so beautiful and feminine and graceful with that lower voice, it was like really inspiring. I don't really know how to describe it.
Are you conscious of the pitch of your voice? Like, I guess, do you feel like the pitch of your voice kind of changes people's perception of you or like how you come off?
Yeah. I don't dislike my lower voice, but I just have always just assumed that a higher pitched voice makes me sound more friendly. And I had never really seen a woman on TV with a lower voice.
Oh, that's so interesting. Cause I guess I didn't even notice her voice being low. And so that's something that you noticed. I feel like normally, I mean, because for me, I have sometimes a really loud voice. And so I think a lot about volume of my voice and how that comes off to people. But it sounds like for you, it's more pitch. Yeah, I think Seollyn is someone who, she's probably the best representation of what my friends are like, I would say. I think the way she handled a lot of conversations really brought people into conversation. She was kind of like the, she and Hanbin, I feel like, were kind of like the mood makers in the show. And I think Hanbin is like the really extroverted version of Seollyn, and Seollyn is someone who I feel like a lot of people felt really comfortable around. And so because of that, I felt more of a fondness towards her too.
Yeah.
Okay, so you've mentioned there could be a season 3, right? What would you want season 3 to do differently?
One, I think they need a different island. I just want
a different island.
Two, so there are a couple games throughout the show. They're very like physical games, like fighting, wrestling. You get hurt.
Yeah.
And people play those games in order to be the top three, in order to choose someone to go on the island.
Yeah.
I wish there was more variety in the games. They're all very physical. I wish there was more like
what if there was like intellectual.
Yeah, like a puzzle or something. Games.
Mm-hmm. Like an escape room.
Yeah.
I want to see an escape room with all those people.
I just think it would add more variety and give other people a chance to shine.
Do you feel like they choose those physical games because they think someone being strong is supposed to be really attractive to the people watching? I don't see any type of appeal of those games other than the fact that they can show off their bodies because they all have really nice bodies.
I could not care less about a guy and his ability to win a wrestling match. In fact, I think seeing someone's like physically competitive side is like really unattractive.
Yeah, that guy wrestling game was unattractive.
Yeah.
Just really uncomfortable to watch the whole time. And I don't mean that in like a good way at all. It wasn't like entertaining and suspenseful at all. It was just really uncomfortable. And I'm like, I just don't want anyone to get hurt. And I just, why are they so desperate to win? Yeah. And also I feel like generally, again, like the stereotype is that men care a lot about their strength. And so I thought it was interesting that they did have the women play physical games too. And so I would kind of want it to be a little bit switched.
Is there anything you would change up?
Well, I was going to say, I want them to go on a winter island. I think the fashion would be very different there.
Oh, yeah.
Also, huge opportunity to cuddle.
Yeah, that's true. You cuddle on the island or in paradise.
Cuddle on the island in paradise, exactly.
Yeah.
So I told you that after watching this show, or in the middle of watching the show, I was kind of interested in looking into what other dating shows were out there. So I wanted to give you and the listeners a little bit of a teaser of Pink Lie, which in my humble yet right opinion... It is by far the best dating show ever. Like, if you have been listening to Bamboo and Glass and you're kind of like, why are these girls talking about dating shows? Because that's not normally something we would talk about. Let me get you on Pink Lie, because that's the kind of show we should be watching. So Pink Lie is where a bunch of contestants live in the same house for 12 days. And they all come in with a lie. So they have a secret. They all know that Every single one of them has one lie that they're telling to each other. And they even have fake names because they have access to their phones here, which I think is really nice because then that's a lot more realistic, I feel like. It's not completely taking them away from reality. And so people could theoretically Google one another. And so they get fake names and they have opportunities to learn the lie of someone else, maybe someone that they're interested in. The two rules of this house is that you can't expose your own lie. And if you find out someone else's lie, you're not allowed to tell anyone. You can't even tell that person that you know their lie. You have no idea the whole time how many people know your secret, and no one has any idea how much you yourself know as well. And I think what's so interesting about this, it's kind of like a variation of hiding your age or hiding your job and that they do on Singles Inferno. But this is specifically targeted at like, what do you want to hide? And what you probably want to hide is probably something that you're really insecure about. Maybe it's something that's really gotten in the way of dating so in the past. Yeah. Ooh. And so
how do you have a chance to figure out someone else's secret?
I think they just pick random people and they kind of just sneak off. Like no one in the house notices them leave. And so you just kind of disappear into the room of truth and you tell them whose secret you want to learn. And then you find out.
Oh my gosh. Tan, I would love to see you create and direct a dating show one day. I feel like you could just come
We're going to do it on Bamboo and Glass. What are you talking about?
Yes, we already did a dating segment, Your Next Date. But wow, okay, a podcast dating show? That's kind of sick.
I think a podcast dating show would be really, really fun. Because also, I find voices to be really attractive. And yeah, I think there is something there that, like, there's just so much that you can do with sound, even with just sound. Yeah, that show made me cry a lot. Because not only are you rooting, I feel like most dating shows, I don't end up rooting for a lot of people because I'm like, even if I like you as a person, I don't think that guy deserves you or I don't think you are a good match with that person. But I can still have these judgments in this show, but I'm still rooting for every single one of them because I know how painful their secret is and their lie is. And I just, whenever it does get revealed, I just don't want them to get hurt. I don't want them to experience that judgment that they were so scared of getting. And that's why they came on the show in the first place.
That is another critique I have of Singles Inferno or any dating show, is that in people's introduction, they're really dressed up. They usually say something like, guys usually tell me that I have stars in my eyes. And it's just like, okay, you're beautiful. Guys like you, whatever.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't make me root for them at all. I don't root for them until like a couple episodes in. But for
when they're vulnerable, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but for Pink Lie, it's like from the beginning, you're
invested. Very vulnerable, yeah. And also, they really pull you through this whole show. Like, you don't, even as a viewer, you don't get to learn all of the lies, like, all at once. Like, that's not in part of the intros that are given in the first episode. In the first
episode, you are like a contestant.
You're like a contestant the whole time. And even sometimes someone will learn a lie, but they don't show that to the viewers. And so we don't know what they learned about.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
And so it's really fun.
That is great. Oh, that's so good. Okay. Well, we're done with Singles Inferno 2. Now it's on to Pink Lie. Listeners, please go watch it on Netflix with us and we will be doing an episode about it soon.
Yes, we will. And if you like our episodes and want to recommend us to a friend, let them know that we're on every podcasting platform, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. And you can also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. We'd love to hear your feedback. And you can also send us your feedback via Instagram at Bamboo and Glass, where we are most on there frequently. And without further ado, we'll see you next episode on next Sunday. Bye!